Well, hello and welcome to the Ministry of Parents Podcast. Sass, Amy, Carrie, we are super thankful that you would join us today in what I think is going to be potentially a deep conversation because it's an important issue that we're going to be talking about. But before we talk about important things, we have to talk about frivolous things. The time frame that we're recording this right now, it's spring-ish time. And so, Amy and Carrie, I would love to hear for you, even if someone's not listening to this in spring, it still applies. What is your go-to spring/outdoor activity? Because, you know, spring is when it's, you know, feels a little nicer out and it's ready to go out. What's your go-to spring or outdoor activity?
Carrie and I are sitting here going,
It sounds like y'all don't get outside much.
Yeah.
Carrie, do you get outside?
I do, not in the spring, because there's pollen everywhere where I live. So I would say that my favorite outdoor activity is not going into a coughing, sneezing, eye-watering fit. That would be my favorite springtime act. Nasal spray. That would be my favorite springtime activity.
I'm just actually going to leave it at that and move on to Amy because that was good.
You know, quite honestly, I'm kind of with Carrie on this one.
Never thought you'd say that, did you, Amy?
Yeah, it's the Flonase and allergy shot time of year.
Wow. And I probably live in the area of the country that has more of that than y'all do. And it just doesn't even faze me or bother
me. Oh, man.
At all.
No, I do. I love going outdoors and not having to put a coat on.
That's good.
You know, I mean, something about in the springtime, 50 degrees feels like a heat wave. Like in the fall, 50 degrees is like, oh yeah, get the sweatshirts out, you know, put on a bonfire. But in the spring, it just feels so gloriously wonderful that, yeah, going outside and taking a walk around the neighborhood and sneezing along the way.
Sneezing
it is
along
bright.
The way.
Was that yellowish green color? Everything is coated in it.
Yes,
that's true.
Yes,
I'm in the land of pine trees. So it is that season where it's just nasty and it's caked. You can watch it. If the wind blows, you can just kind of watch it waft across the atmosphere. Fantastic time of year.
Okay. Well, y'all are fun.
What about you, Sass?
I think I probably said this before, but I love getting outside in the yard and the garden. Like spring for me is like the pre-summer gardening time, where I got to kind of get everything ready and start doing some, you know, little seedlings and stuff like that. So I love getting outside and doing that.
We can't do anything like that in Michigan until it's at least Memorial Day.
Wow.
You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. That would be way too long for me to wait. Yeah.
I don't want to jump over. Well, he said there's going to be frivolous. So I just want to say this. Have either one of you seen this whole news thing about Amy? This wouldn't probably affect you as much where you are, but where Sass and I are located, apparently this year is going to be a record year of cicadas. There's not just one species, but multiple species that are all going to hatch, and it will be the first time in a long, long time. I can't remember. I want to say it was Jefferson was president when somebody said that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my word.
But it's going to be, apparently it's going to be more cicadas this year than all at once in a swath of states. But I'm pretty sure Michigan was not one of them.
Do we know how long that's going to last, Carrie?
I don't. For my wife, it would be too long, no matter how long it is.
Yeah.
But no, look it up. There's apparently, if you're listening to this, Google it. There's apparently a massive, is the perfect storm of cicadas.
Wow.
The cicada uprising.
I don't even know how to spell that, so I can't look it up. Anyway, let's move on. So we are going to be talking this month about this idea of identity, and it is a huge topic, I know, in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of layers to it, but one of the things that we want to be doing as faith leaders is helping kids, students, parents figure out their identity, because there is so much identity confusion. There is an inability to land on an identity and stay in an identity in a lot of different ways, as I mentioned. And ultimately, you know, what I think we would say we want is for the kids and the teenagers and the parents that we lead to land on an identity in Christ more than anything else. So I would love to hear, like, when you guys think about the idea of talking about identity in the church, What first comes to mind for you? Carrie, let's start with you.
Ooh, I think what first comes to mind would be that even for those in student ministry world that do not like topical teaching or discipleship around topics, this is a topic that you need to hit on, and you need to hit on it every single year. This is not one that I think you can skip. So one of the when I think of identity, I think of whether you're in sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, or 11th or 12th grade, this is a place that you are dealing with. It's something you're coming back to. We have a friend in youth ministry named Mark Ostreicher who talks about this phase of life where they are trying on different hats, trying to figure out who they are, that is like them. He used an illustration years ago about them trying on different hats. It's really stuck with me because I think that's so true of it's not who they are, it's who they're trying on to see if it's a fit for them. So that's the first thing I think about is this is in student ministry world, this is a massive thing. It is something we need to focus in on. It's something we need to talk about often. And especially in the world we live in now, where that one little word means a lot of different things, and brings up a lot of emotion and a lot of controversy and discussion. It is something we need to talk about of what is our identity in Christ? And to point students back to, you are not what sport you play. You are not what instrument you play. You are not the team you cheer for. That is not who you are. That is not why where your identity is found. If you are a professor and a follower, professing follower of Jesus Christ, that is your identity. Your identity is found in Him and in Him alone. So I don't know, Amy. I think it's different a little bit in the world of children's ministry, but I would say in student ministry, middle school and high school both, and some would argue that high school not so much. I would argue from conversations that it's just as much a problem or a topic of conversation that needs to be had in high school as it is anywhere else in middle. But it is one that needs to be had and had often.
Yeah, I know in children's ministry, we're looking more at the building blocks of identity and speaking truth so that they can have a foundation that when they get to that age of trying to figure out who they are as an individual, apart from parents and them looking at culture and their friends and all of that kind of stuff, that they have something to go back to, that they have something to rest on. And something that you said, Carrie, about you aren't what sport you play, you aren't that idea of you aren't what you do. And in some ways we have roles and we have identity. And I think sometimes we look at our roles as our identity. Like, I'm a mom, that's who I am. I'm a wife, I'm a teammate. And those things are good, but if we're not looking at who we are, then we get caught up in that, praising what we do more than who we are. And that's an easy thing. I think that that's part of the idea that we have to focus on in children's ministry is looking for ways to praise character and point out godly character, rather than always going to, hey, you did a really good job on that, or yay, you won the game, you kicked the winning goal in soccer or something. Those things are praiseworthy and celebratory, but if that's the majority of what kids hear, then they're internalizing this, I am my achievements. And I think that that sets up a shaky foundation that as kids start to explore and, like you said, try on identities, that it makes it harder for them to sort through what God says about them and what culture, friends, media says about them.
Amy, a couple
Mentioned.
things.
Can I jump in for a second, Sassus?
Go
Amy
ahead.
said something about culture, and I wanted to make a point to that or tie a point to that. I think part of the hardship that we have with identity and feeling that our identity is not just linked to, but it is directly tied to what we do, no matter what age we are, success, failure, role, class, whatever you're into, comes from the culture, because that's what we celebrate. Mm-hmm. We celebrate identity. You don't celebrate Ronaldo as a individual. You celebrate Ronaldo as a soccer player. Mm-hmm. It is what he does. And it is what is lifted on high. Same with, in middle school, high school, even grade school, your grades. Mm-hmm. I remember being in upper, right before middle school or right going into middle school. And if you got all A's, they gave you a ribbon that you could wear around. And it was a blue ribbon. And if you got B's, A's and B's, they gave you a red ribbon.
Oh my gosh.
And it was long ago, but it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
But that is all based on, very quickly you become, I am what mm-hmm. I score on my report card. I am those things. And I know as a parent now, trying to make sure my teenager and my younger than a teenager don't fall into those traps. It is difficult because mm-hmm. you do catch yourself. My son plays soccer. My daughter swims. It is hard not to praise them for the achievements that they're making in those things without them also feeling lesser than when they don't achieve mm-hmm. in those things. It's just something we lift up, and it's an easy trap to fall into. And I don't want to mm-hmm. blame culture for it. That's not what I'm getting at. But what I am wanting to say out loud is, and clearly is, man, it's difficult because we do celebrate it from everything we hear on the radio to everything we see on the news and on TV and on award ceremonies, even mm-hmm. in our own schools. What we celebrate, we don't celebrate the individuals. We celebrate what they do. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to throw that out there, Seth.
No, I totally agree with you, Carrie, because we do live in this performance culture that pushes mm-hmm. performance so very hard, which gets so very tied to identity. I can remember being at a middle school graduation, if you will, as if you really graduated middle school, but that's what they called it. It was fun. Then they changed it. They called it promotion the year next. They didn't want to call it graduation. I don't want to get into that.
It's more surviving.
I guess. So we're at this middle school graduation, and one of the administrators was talking about a certain group of kids and their achievement. They were in some club, honor society, something like that. And what he said was, you have simply allowed your achievements to become a huge part of who you are. And I wanted to throw something at him.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, because it's exactly what we're all talking about here, is this push and drive to mm-hmm. achieve things, to perform more, to perform better. And mm-hmm. somehow that gets tied into our kids' identity. And it is so dangerous for them to grow up and become, adults mm-hmm. and young adults who that's what they believe is the truth. And that's what they want to strive for, because that's just a train wreck waiting to happen all the way. And so as faith leaders and as parents, we got to figure out mm-hmm. how to help them not do that so much. Amy, something you said a minute ago, I'd be curious to hear in the children's ministry space. You mentioned in children's ministry, a lot of what we're trying to do is to just sort of add the building blocks mm-hmm. to their identity. Can you think of what some of those building blocks are? I mean, I know you mentioned a few things, but what else comes to mind when you think about the building blocks in children's ministry that we want to stack?
Well, I think that the first thing is, it's right in Genesis. God created male and female. He created them in his own image. And I think that needs to be the very first thing that we focus on and the most important. And, as I was thinking about this topic and writing about it, something stood out to me that we need, in order to understand ourselves in his image, we need to understand him and the magnificence and the awesomeness and just who he is. Because when we see that, and then we hear you were created in his image, how much more powerful is that when kids understand just how great our God is? And so I would say, we need to focus on what that means to be created in his image, that we are his example in the world, that the qualities and the traits that we grow when we're disciples of Christ are those that he instilled in us. And, you know, so the truth of we were created in his image and of who he is important. And then I think, you know, things like, you know, when you see, we want to encourage compassion in our kids. We want to encourage, you know, servanthood in our kids and what it means to serve, and that those qualities become more a part of who we are, so that when we start to question the who am I and we're hearing the accolades from what we do, we still have that grounding in, you know, in our character, in the way that God created us to be. You know, but that just idea of really understanding deeply who God is, so that we can internalize that mind-blowing, like, the creator of the universe created us. And, you know, just the amazing part of that. And I think sometimes we teach about God, and but we want our kids to really internalize that awesomeness, mm-hmm. You know, and just that speechlessness of how great he is and who we are in him.
Yeah, I think that's great. So, you know, obviously here on the Ministry to Parents podcast, we want to encourage faith leaders and parents to be the voice when it comes to helping our kids and teenagers step into their identity. And so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk specifically about how we can encourage parents to talk to their kids about identity. You're listening to the Ministry to Parents podcast.
When it comes to youth ministry, it's not just one thing. It's tons of things. Weekend retreats, Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, equipping adult volunteers, ministering to parents, sermon prep. There's tons to plan and do, and the list goes on and on. But one thing is true. You've been called to love and serve your students. You do it because of Jesus' call on your life, but having the bandwidth to do all the other things can take it out of you and leave you with less time to spend loving and serving your students. Ministry is hard, overwhelming, and seems impossible sometimes. We want to help. We want to help you elevate Christ and empower discipleship in your ministry. YN360 Plus is a year-long strategy designed to help you do the one thing you've been called to, love and serve your students. With a 52-week Bible study curriculum that will help you and your volunteers effectively teach God's Word, 12 sermon series for the year that are trusted, biblical, and field-tested, fun, interactive games for your gatherings, Ministry to Parents, which provides everything you need to build a strong parent ministry as you help parents disciple their teenagers. You'll have access to My Youth Men, Youth Ministry's premier leadership development and training platform designed to help you grow, lead, and thrive in your ministry. And we want to give you one-on-one coaching to help you as you live out God's calling on your life. We want to give you the capacity to focus on what truly matters. This is a year-long strategy for your ministry. We want you to say goodbye to uncertainty and the stress of planning and say hello to the freedom to spend time loving and serving your students. Your ministry strategy matters, and we're here to help with YN360 Plus.
Welcome back to the Ministry to Parents podcast. Sass, Carrie, and Amy here having a conversation about identity, and we've been talking about just some of the important things that we need to be doing to help our kids and teenagers understand their identity, and quite honestly, to help us continue to understand our identity. But we obviously on this podcast specifically want to talk about how we can help parents help their kids step into the identity that they want for them to have. And so, Carrie, what are some ideas that you have for a ministry leader on how to help parents have the right conversations and push their teenagers towards an identity in Christ?
I think one of the things that I come back to year after year in meeting with parents, whether that's parent meetings, one-on-one, is giving them some handles, if you will, just to have these conversations. And one of the things I always try to make sure they understand is the need for constant repetition mm-hmm. with their teenager or soon to be teenager. The things you have to say over and over and over and over again. Number two is that they need to be very intentional about finding other adult voices who will mm-hmm. speak into the lives of their kids and say those things as well. I mentioned my teenage daughter. She is wonderful, and she is created in the image of God, as Amy said, but she also, there are times when she hears the words that her mom and her dad tell her, and there's other times she does not. Mm-hmm. And she hears the words that other people say, and she comes home and says, well, so-and-so said this. And you're thinking, I said that like a week ago. but it just goes again to the need of how important it is for repetition and for another voice to be one of those pieces of repetition, multiple voices. I know Fuller Youth Institute did some research, and I can't think of the exact numbers off the top of my head right now, but about the number of adults needed in the life of a student. And it needs to be more than one, and it needs to be more than just a parent or two parents. One of the things I also want to tell parents is like I said, give them some handles. Some of the things they need to repeat or find ways to have the discussion. And I would say this is the same, is very similar, if not the same, to a youth ministry worker, a small group leader. And that is this: they need to hear that they're created by God, as Amy mentioned, in the image of God, that they were created for God, that they were created to glorify God. And then I think especially in the middle school and high school phase of life where they are questioning so many things, they need to hear that they were created on purpose and that they're not a mistake. As we try on the identities, as they're trying to figure out who they are and whose they are, for parents, for youth leaders, to be able to say, you're created by God, you're created in the image of God, you're created for God, you're created to glorify God, you were created on purpose, you are not a mistake. Over and over and over and over again in different ways, in different things you're hearing, different conversations you're having. There are a myriad of conversations where things pop up. And if you can hang on to those handles and think, oh, this is a great place for me to remind my child they were created in the image of God. Oh, I don't look right. You were created in the image of God. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. Oh, I don't know if I belong. You were created to glorify God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You're created to glorify God. I don't know if I fit in. You were made on purpose. You're not a mistake. Over and over and over again. That's my two cents.
Yeah, no, I think the repetition is really, really important. Amy, what about you when it comes to kids ministry? What are some ways that parents can, or that we as ministry leaders can encourage parents mm-hmm. to be involved, part of this conversation?
Well, I have a few ideas bouncing around in my head. I know that praying scripture over your kids is very, very powerful. And, providing that for parents of who God says we are and praying that with and for your kids is something that we can do every day. Incorporate it into, bedtime routine of and memorize scripture together that, that we were created for his glory, that, like Carrie was saying, that putting that word in them at a young age and starting that and repeating, like when Carrie said repeating, repetition is really important in the younger years. And, that's how they learn it. That's how they internalize it. And so, providing scripture for parents to pray with and for their kids and to memorize with their kids. And another thing that, I feel like I need to point out is a lot of times as parents, we're struggling with our own identity. And we can't do for someone else what we don't have ourselves. And, so I think that it's really important to work on, where do I see my identity? Do I see it in my work? Do I see it in being a PTA mom? Do I see it in being, you know what, going on every field trip and being the go-to dad that coaches every team, is that who I am? Or am I believing what I'm telling my kids about the Lord and how he created us? And, you know, I mean, these are good spots. We carry around baggage from our younger years. And in a lot of ways, you know, I'm finding I'm, you know, in my 50s, and I'm finding that there are still middle school moments that I'm having where I question myself. And, you know, sometimes that talking with friends and getting that support and saying, hey, you know, I'm feeling kind of not sure of myself in this area, and going to see a counselor and talking through some of those hurts that you've carried along. And I think that, you know, encouraging parents that, their kids aren't an extension of who they are. That sometimes we fall into the trap of making sure that our kids do get all the great grades and they are involved in all kinds of things and they're star players and, you know, all of that. And we get some of our identity through that. That I think in any way that we can speak into parents' lives about who they are, what their purpose is, not just as parents, but as people and children of God, that, you know, that's a really good place to start.
I could not agree more. One of the things I want to always try to, when I'm helping parents, talking to parents about reminding them of their teenagers of who they are, I would say, to Amy's point, reminding them of who they are as a parent and who they're not. I think we so fall, Amy, into those traps of, I would say this to parents, your child is a gift. They are not a burden. They are a gift. But as a parent, you are not your past. You are not parents. You're not your failures and your mistakes. Your identity, you are not the sins of your parents and their failures and mistakes. And also, you are not your child's best friend. You are their parent. And those are very different things. Stop trying to be their best buddy. They have those. They have a lot of those. What they only have one of is a mom. And what they only have one of is a father. It is a special piece. It is a special identity to own. So embrace that. You are not your mistakes. You're not your failures. You're not your parents' failures. But you're also not their best buddy, and they're not their best friend. You are a parent. These teenagers, these children are a gift to you. They are not going to be here forever. the reason that they may be mad at you for right now for towing a tight line, but they won't be mad at you forever. Those feelings are temporary. They may seem long-term, but they're temporary. This is your time to lean in. You cannot be, I used to teach it years ago. I used to teach a breakout to parents talking about being an ostrich in the sand, and that you can't just bury your head in the sand and wait for the storm to pass. This is your time to engage, but so many of them don't do that because they're, identity issues, of thinking, well, I screwed this up. So how can I engage with my daughter about this when I was so terrible at the same thing? Or how can I engage my son with this when I screwed up this so many times and I screwed it up with them? You know, you're not those things. You cannot let those things rule you, and they will. But I had a wise person always tell me, you know, the adversary does not need any help holding you down. So don't give the devil a foothold in that. Remember who you are as a mom and dad, what you are called to be, what God has placed in your purview. It is not the youth pastor or the children's pastor's job to raise your child. And that's not a cop-out. We are here to come alongside. We are here to help equip and to encourage and to walk alongside you. We're here to help you connect with other voices. What I'm saying is don't sell out your parenthood. Don't outsource your parenthood. It is a special, unique identity that never, ever will belong to a small group leader. It'll never belong to a community leader, a coach. It should never belong to those people. That is yours. and only yours. And it was given to you by God. And that is his purpose and perfect design, is for you to have that identity in you alone. Mm-hmm. So lean into it, embrace it. It's okay. You're going to, none of them come with an instruction manual, right? So it's okay. You're going to fumble your way through it. But it's okay to say, oops, messed that up. I'm sorry. I was in the wrong. I made a mistake. But don't give away that identity. It is yours.
I'll say the same thing, Carrie, that you said when Amy got through. I could not agree more. And the only thing I really want to add is that if you're a ministry leader, and obviously, you know, you are focusing on the kids or the teenagers, that's probably what you've been hired to do. You're a Sunday school teacher, maybe as a volunteer, or children's, you know, pastor, youth pastor, small group leader. You're focusing on the kids, but don't forget, you do have a ministry to the parents as well. And you may not feel qualified to do that because you're not a parent yourself, or you may feel like, you know, you've got some things holding you back for mistakes you've made in your life. But I just want to encourage you that all of us as believers in Jesus can encourage each other in our identity in Christ. Doesn't matter how old you are. I remember when I was, you know, first starting out as a young youth leader, hearing 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. And I didn't have kids, and I didn't know what was going on with raising, you know, youngsters or teenagers or whatever, but I knew that I could encourage anybody, no matter what age they were, in their identity in Christ. And so if you're a ministry leader who typically focuses on the kids or the teenagers, I would encourage you to expand your horizons a little bit and focus on the parents and encourage them, because the best way to get to the kids is through the parents. I'm convinced of that. And so as a ministry leader, make sure that part of your ministry is to the parents, which is why you're here today. So, Carrie, you don't have to do anything you want to finish with?
Yeah, I was going to say, jump on something you just said. You don't have to do it right all the time. There again, just like a parent doesn't have an instruction manual. If you're a youth leader, if you're a children's leader, you're do something. Take a step. Try something. You don't. No parent expects you to have it right all the time. They will be very honored and pleased that you're trying. So try something, do something, take a step. Don't just sit there. So many, gosh, Seth, you and I and Amy all talk to so many ministry leaders and volunteers and people who love students and love children and who love pointing them to Christ, who just sit in fear because I'm not a parent yet, or I don't know what to say, or it's just overwhelming, or, and so I just don't do anything. Do something. Do something. Just remind a parent of who they are. Remind a parent of, you know, send an encouraging email. Hey, I don't need anything from you. I just want to remind you today of who you are.
Yeah. I was with a group of family ministry leaders yesterday, and a lot of folks who are younger who were saying that exact same thing. And my encouragement to them was the same thing that you just said, Carrie, is we can all step into encouraging each other in identity. Even if you don't have kids and you've only been doing this for a year, like you're a follower of Jesus and we're called to do this together. And so I would just encourage any of you to do that. Amy, anything you would like to finish us up with today?
Well, I mean, just going with what you guys are saying, you may not be a parent, but you are on the same team with parents. You know the kids, and you, along with parents, want to see the best for these kids and want to see them rooted and grounded in their faith. And so share that role as teammates. You know, the same way that you would encourage teammates on, you know, in sports or something like that, encourage parents, encourage one another, because you get a chance to know their kids. And so you share that with them of, hey, you know, we're heading toward the same goal. We share goals, whether you're a parent or not.
Something simple you could do, no matter what age of the students you work with, no matter if you're a parent yourself, send a parent just something that you just, it can be a quick text, an email, something that you saw their child do or that you admire in their child. That's it. Hey, Amy, I noticed your daughter did this the other day, and I just wanted to tell you how exciting that was to see her do this and that. No parent, I have never, in 30 plus years of working with parents and students, I've never had a parent complain to me that I brag when they're a child. Because you think about it, if you're a parent listening to this, you know, most of the time somebody sends you an email about your child, it's not necessarily a good one. Mm-hmm. To get an email or a note or a letter, or even stopped in the lobby of a church or stopped in the parking lot of a grocery store. Hey, can I just tell you one quick thing I love about your kid? Blah, 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 blah. And say their name and watch that parent just go, my kid? Yeah, your kid. I just want you to tell, wow. It's so life-giving to parents to hear those things. And I don't know, it's just, like I said, do something. And that's one of the simplest things you could do is just acknowledge out of the blue something you see their child do in a positive way.
Well, and I'll share one other thing as we close that I think you can do is be praying for the parents. Right. I mean, for a lot of you, if you're a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader, or you know, if you work in the church, like you're praying for the kids. Just add the parents to the list of people that you're praying for. You don't even have to tell them that you are, right? Just start praying for the parents to embrace their identity so that they can better teach their kids to embrace their identity. That's something that we all can do and probably should be doing more of. Hey, if you want some help with, we talked earlier about making sure that you're talking about identity in your ministry setting, YM360 has got a lot of great things that can help you be able to do that. Obviously, we're always trying to create different resources here at Ministry to Parents to help you step into the conversation with parents and encouraging parents. And so just don't hesitate to look around, to reach out to us if there's anything that we can do to help you in your ministry or even personally. You can find our emails and we would love to have conversations with you. And thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next time on the Ministry to Parents podcast.